Insurance isn't one size fits all. That's why drivers have enjoyed Progressive's Name Your Price tool for years now. With the Name Your Price tool, you tell them what you want to pay, and they'll show you options that fit your budget. So whether you're picking out your first policy or just looking for something that works better for you and your family, they make it easy to see your options. Visit Progressive.com. Find a rate that works for you with the Name Your Price tool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Activate Yourself with Geeta Sidhu-Rob, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Geeta Sidhu-Rob.
Hi, my name is Geeta Sidhu-Rob, and this is Activate Yourself. And I'm going to try and position myself in the middle because the last show I watched, for some reason, I was sitting on the side of the screen, which I'm not convinced was a really good plan, frankly speaking. So this time I'm being more aware. Today's guest is so interesting because, like all good guests, she came from a friend who said, oh my God, you must talk to this woman. I can't remember whether she said to her to me, but basically that's how we ended up speaking. And I was like, so, how did you get activated? And she like got the script. She got the understanding of what I was asking, because if anyone's ever said, oh my God, your life should just be like a movie, that's pretty much what Carrie seems to have done. She said that she went, I mean, you're going to tell it yourself, Carrie, but it's this concept of going to film school and then creating a script out of your life and realizing which characters are missing and that those are people that you kind of need in your life. And I'm like, damn, that's really interesting. And so immediately, of course, I'm spending my life thinking what I've got missing. And the hot male lead. I'm like, I'm a big fan of the hot male lead turning up, please. That would be really great. We'll be deep again in a hot minute, but until then... Hot male lead. But let's welcome Carrie West. Carrie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Geeta. I've been looking forward to this chance to talk with you. that was a great lead, and I loved it, the hot male lead.
I did an interview because International Women's Day this year has been so intense for everyone. There's been so much conversation around women. And I feel like I lost my voice from the number of events I spoke at last week. But the funny thing was somebody saying to me, what would be your advice to your younger self? And I'm absolutely convinced she was hoping something really profound would come out of my face. And I was like, I should have sex with better looking men and more often. And I mean, that is my advice to my younger self. Because like, you know, don't sweat the small stuff. It's happening anyway. If you had told me at the age of 24 that I was going to have, I would have rested more, frankly. I would have been like, shoot, let me take a bit more time off. There's a heck of a lot coming down the line, right?
No kidding. And guess what? It only gets more intense, let me tell you.
Oh, my God. It's like these people start doing this thing of you're halfway through your life. I'm like, bitch, I have enough problems. Really stop telling me how far I've gotten through and what I have. I'm Indian. I don't care. I'm like, this is coming down the line whether you want it to or not. And here's where we are. So I'm kind of a little bit like, there needs to be more enjoyment out of this process, frankly speaking, you know? So here we are. But yeah.
Yes, and that's exactly what I said about personal growth. Why does it have to be so? I was hurt as a child. Yes, we were all hurt. We all had stuff we didn't like. Okay. What's the story around that? You build a story. You know, anybody who says to me, I should do this, the minute I hear that word should, I say, that's your story. That's your story.
Really? That's so interesting.
Yeah. So it's the shoulds are, I should have done this so I don't feel the hurt.
How is that your story? How is the should your story?
The should is usually the story you're given by society, by family.
And that's what you think you need to do.
Yes. When my mom would say to me, you got to get married. And then I hear people say, I should have gotten married, or I should have married that one, or I should have, like you said, had more sex. Why? You had what you wanted. Or maybe you didn't have as much as you wanted.
No, I'm pretty sure my story was that you shouldn't have it and that actually I should have had it.
Yeah, exactly. 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 So it's so funny that you said it this way, and especially about the Hotmail lead. There, do you know how many times we play, and I used to love reading, I used to read scripts and books for the production companies to pick out a good story that would be not only a good story, but visually appealing, because you're dealing with a visual medium. But I used to look at these scripts, and they would say, unseen character in the second row. And they'd all of a sudden they'd have a voiceover comment, unseen character in the second row, or quiet patron at the bar. No name, just a description. And I used to think, how many of my stories was that me? Was that I was the unseen middle child, you know, the whole middle child thing. I was the middle child. And so I took on that role of I'm being the unseen middle child in my life. So I don't even have a starring role in my own book, in my own story, in my own life. We should all be the stars of our own story, don't you think? And
yeah, I agree. I'm trying to think if I ever spent any time being unseen. I think it was very different. I found I was always seen and it always made me uncomfortable.
I'd love to know more about that.
Yeah, that was very different. For me, it was I always would laugh and say that if you had a field with 10,000 people in it, the camera would find me unerringly and come and say, what did you think today? And I would unerringly say something which would somehow go viral. And that was the story. And I just have never till about 9 months ago, I was never comfortable with that. And then about 9 months to a year ago, I was like, I think I'm good with this now. Let's use it.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it. A lot of people have just the opposite thing. They want to stay hidden. And so they do. It's so funny that you have it that way, because I've seen people, they can put a shield around them and be unseen, even if they're the only person in the room.
Maybe I never wanted that badly enough.
Maybe. I think when people want to hide and they don't want to be seen, they're protecting themselves.
Of course. I was going to say, I don't think that trauma happened to me in a way that I thought if I get seen, I'll get hurt. Even though it happened a lot, I never felt that didn't happen to me in that way in childhood, maybe. And so I never felt that being seen was to be hurt. And just getting more famous got me more trolled, but in a way I kind of expected that. So that was very different.
Yeah, well, that is your story. And that's the beauty of this process. When you look at your story, you don't have to have my story or anybody else's story. And that's another thing I work with my clients is, let's tell your story. You don't have to be the middle manager. You don't have to be a supervisor. You don't have to be the one that's constantly out there doing stuff. You can take on the position of I'm going to be the supportive person that just stays in the background. That's okay. Because we get these messages. I think we get these messages from family and friends and society about who we should be.
Yeah.
And instead of saying that, I want to know who you could be. I want to know who you are. When I was going to college, I had high grades and high SATs and all the stuff that we need here in the States to go to college. I started getting calls. This was the height of the Women's Lib movement. I started getting calls from these women's groups saying, you should be applying to be an engineer or a business executive. And you should be. And I said, why? Well, it's time for women to take over traditionally male roles. I said, so instead of helping me to be a better female and understand my womanness, you want me to become a guy?
Well, yeah. How demanding of you to not want to do that.
But that's a big disservice. It's a big telling me, help me understand who I am. Find my path.
And then the biggest, bestest, most powerful version of me is the one that we want to aim for, surely.
That's right. That's right. So when you talk about activating yourself, I think I was always ready for that insight of how do I find out who I am? And when I looked at my life as a story and me as the protagonist of my own story, everything fell into place.
So you wrote a book called Life Rewritten.
Correct.
And is that, where did that come from?
That comes from my life. It's actually three books in one.
Yeah.
It's part memoir, it's part understanding the elements of a story,
Yeah.
and it's part how to activate your own story. So I have three parts to it. I start off each chapter with a segment from my life. Then I go into the story element I'm talking about, and then I talk about how you can apply that to your life to understand where story fits in.
Okay, let's go for a quick break because I forgot about the break, and then
Oh,
we'll come back.
okay.
And I want to understand when we come back what that means, the rewriting part, because I'm struggling a little to grasp that, but we'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, so we're back. What does that mean? Rewrite your story.
When you, let's look at it this way. We all have an origin story. The day you're born, you're brand new, but you're landing in the middle of somebody else's story. Your parents have their own story that's going on, whatever's going on in their marriage, whatever's going on in their life. You don't know any of this. You're brand new, fresh out of the womb, and you land into this story. So how do you maneuver through that? Well, the first thing we want is a sense of belonging. And how do we know we belong with somebody? We become like them. We're taught to fear people that are different from us. We're taught that you only feel safe with people of your kind. And when I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. There were neighborhoods. There was the Italian neighborhood, the Irish neighborhood, the Jewish neighborhood.
Yes, I grew up like that, and you had them like siloed, like
Yes.
neighborhoods where
Yes.
that's where they all lived, and their shops were local to there, and the people were local,
Yes.
the language.
Yes, the language, everything. Even in Boston today, the North End is still the Italian neighborhood. Some fantastic restaurants, by
I
the
was
way.
gonna go, yeah, the food.
The food's amazing, but it's still this sense of separation and to be with your own kind, which really starts helping you develop this sense of self, right? You need that sense of who you are. You need to establish that. Your brain needs that. Your brain needs to organize this information because even though we're brand new, we're bombarded from the minute that bright light hits you when you first exit the womb. We're bombarded with information and feedback and voices and sounds and everything. Your brain's capturing all of that. So that all gets formulated into an origin story. Now, my origin story had a very rough start. My mom rejected me the minute I was born. The nurse tried to give me to her. And by the way, she told me this story. She would tell this story. But she said the nurse gave her me to her, and she said, "Get that disgusting thing away from me."
Oh, for the love of God. So then your mother tells you this.
Oh yeah. Oh, my mom had her own mental health issues. That's
Oh.
something that I had to sort through. But I immediately came into the world feeling disgusting.
Well,
And
duh.
then,
Unwanted.
right. And then you go to church when you find religion, they
Oh,
tell
your
you you're.
religion.
I was baptized Catholic.
No, but I mean when you find your religion, because our religion doesn't tell you
Exactly.
these things.
In the religion they sent me to, all of a sudden, if I wasn't baptized, I was dirty. So here's this ongoing message, not only from the family, but from religion, that you're dirty, that you're this, you're that. Put on top of that, I was a female child. So the girls had to keep the house clean and do the dishes and do everything there. My brother didn't have to do anything. So all that
Oh, I had that.
formulated into this origin story. here I am working on this book, and it's like, what do I do with my origin story? That's your backstory. That's the foundation. How do you do that? And what you do is you just say, okay, up until this point, that was my origin story. I'm creating another one. And this new origin story acknowledges my level of determination. There are times I wonder how in the hell I made it out of that mess. You know, there was a lot of tragedy and drama. And I said, okay, I made it though. What a level of determination. What a brilliant woman I was that I bucked all their traditional things they tried to make me do. So I started viewing myself as a champion rather than a victim or somebody who, oh, poor me, I didn't land in the right family. How many times have people said, why did I pick this family? I picked this family so that I could really see what a powerhouse I was. And I made that my origin story, that instead of you were a poor little thing that picked the wrong family, all of a sudden, I saw myself as a victor, as a champion. From victim to victor, I've said, I'm the champion of my life. And that changed everything. It changed my whole perception of who I was. Then I started to understand that my parents were human beings too.
Yeah.
So they had their own origin stories. They had their own dramas. They were first generation Americans. My father was from Italy. My mother was from Serbia. So that came with a whole slew of generational stories and things they were dealing with. They didn't have the capacity to make a change in it. That's unfortunate. I think they would have been much happier people. They died young. You know, they could have had a much different life. Neither here nor there. This was my life. I took charge of it and changed everything. I went from very, very humble beginnings to this beautiful life I have now.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Sure.
What makes you the person that escaped? Because you're one of millions that were born into those situations, that situation, that arena, that space. What was it in you that made you think, nah, not me? This is not who I am, and this is not who I'm going to stay.
I think we all have that moment where you're at a crossroad and you say, what do I do? I don't know if we all do it as consciously as I did it, but I woke up one day and I said, I'm in trouble. Mm-hmm. I'm in deep trouble. Mm-hmm. If I continue on this path, I'm going to either hurt myself or hurt somebody else. Because there was a point in my life where all I was doing was drinking. And I wasn't eating. I had dropped a lot of weight. All I was doing was drinking.
So you could see that you were punishing yourself. And
I could see how I was exactly taking my life apart. I realized I had this deep emotional and psychological pain. And the question...
I mean, that moment of lucidity, Carrie... Mm-hmm. Where does that moment of lucidity come from? In between one coming off one drink, going on to the next one, or the hangover, waiting till you can have the first drink? Like, where did that moment of lucidity come physically in your day?
Mine came from the famous bad boy. I had a terrible habit of dating all the wrong guys, all the wrong guys. And I didn't care if they were married or in relationships. If you were the wrong guy for me, I pursued you. And I was obnoxious. I was obnoxiously aggressive about it. And I just finally said, what am I doing?
So sex was also a currency.
Of course, of course. Anything to shut down my real emotional feelings.
Gotcha.
You know, sex, drugs, well, not drugs, alcohol. Sex and alcohol for me. And when you finally wake up one day and say, what am I going to do? I can continue on this path. No judgment. I can continue on the path. Many people do. In some ways, I was quite a functioning alcoholic, you know, and I held down jobs. I got paid. I did my thing, but I was so miserable. I was so miserable. And I finally...
You decided I'm not doing this anymore. And then?
I actually went and talked to a priest at my church. And that was another eye opener. And he just was awful, awful. And I said, well, it was around, it would also, it aligned with the day my dad died. My dad died very suddenly. And I finally went to the priest and said, what's going on? Why is all this stuff happening? Why does my life suck? And he said, your Lord Jesus Christ died for you. You should be able to withstand some suffering in your life. And, okay, well, that's not right. I said, thank you for your time. And again, this was another sign to me that I bucked the system. I didn't accept what people said to me. And that was okay. Whereas when I was growing up, my mom used to call me the black sheep because I would never do what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
So
it ends up being your saving grace, honestly, at the end.
Honestly, it is. And I think a lot of people, I want to give everybody permission to be the black sheep. You are allowed to say no. The easiest word in language that's cross language. Anybody in any language in the world knows the word no. And we don't use it enough.
And especially women.
Especially women. So when you can use the word no, and I've inspired so many women to get out of abusive relationships because you don't have to accept that. You do have more power. You can support yourself if you need to. You can support your family. I know it's hard, but there are so many support programs that you can get into. And I support people who will do that.
So I just want to, we're going to go for a break, and I want to come back and understand what is the solution? So I guess it's the third part of your book, right? Mm-hmm. What is it that you suggest to people when they're doing this? So we'll be back in a moment.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. What is it? What is the solution? What do you say to people they should do?
First and foremost is understand where you are today and why. That's your theme. The theme and the why is your theme and motivation. And that's the most important part.
And is the why the one of, oh, well, I grew up like this, or my parents were mean, or my, is that what you mean by why?
Can be. Okay. And it, even if your why is about, I was born into a shitty experience, or my parents were mean, or I couldn't get into the right school, or whatever that is. It's like, okay, but why are you still holding on to that?
That one. I said that, honestly, I mean, I know I'm a coach, but I have the privilege of being able to choose who I work with, because if I'm sitting in front of a bunch of people having this conversation, I'm like, somebody shoot me now. We're not having this conversation. You know, we're just not.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. You talk about being a coach. One of the things I do is you have to fill out an application. I'm not interested in working with you if you're not really interested in changing.
Yeah.
Because if you do the work with me, you will have the life you want. I have proven that 100 times. But you have to see that you are the author of your own story.
So, okay, this bit sticks in my gullet all the time. Like, I will be coaching, like even this morning, I'm coaching an amazing woman. And I'm saying to her, you know, this is, I think, the biggest issue. And she said, oh my God. Oh, you know, like as it's penetrating. And she goes, how do we fix it? And I say this so often, again and again, I'm like, you can only fix it if you can see it. So
yes.
Much of it, we spend our life not being able, like, I am like, somebody, for the love of God, show me where I'm stuck, because then I can fix it. But people don't have as much of an understanding on the value of the being able to niche straight down into where your problem is coming from. That problem, when you can see it, you can, number one, never walk away from it again, because you're seeing it.
Yes. Absolute
clarity. And then once you've got that clarity, it's impossible not to do something about it.
That is exactly right. I always start with your origin story. And once you see your origin story and see that it's still playing out today in some form, everybody changes it without a doubt. It's like you said, once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah.
And then you know you're in charge. You know.
Well, you can choose.
And I always say, you don't have to change. You can continue on this path. But that is your choice.
That sounds a little mean. I can imagine people going, oh, no. Whereas I just think, to me, that's heaven. I think that I almost call it slice and dice at the moment. Like, we've got to the stage in my life where if there's a place I can't function and I can't move, like, my mother is 91 and she's definitely outliving all of us. And I was looking at her and I was like, that is so interesting, because I'm now looking at these behaviors as she's becoming kind of more childlike. And I'm seeing these behaviors in all of us. Right. I'm looking at me and I'm looking at the depression in this child and the whatever in that child and the hypochondria and the closed offness in me. And I was like, damn, we have to do something about this, like, now. And I remember just thinking, I need someone to just help me with the family dynamic, whatever the family constellation, that thing, that's what. And it's so interesting, because the minute I knew what I was looking for, the person turned up and I was like, OK, I need to see it. And then dump it. But yep. The biggest mistake has got to be not being able to see it.
No, absolutely. You have to be willing to open your eyes.
Yeah.
And I've said to people 100 times, I can open the door, but you have to walk through it. And that's the thing. They need to know that this is their journey. They need to walk through it. They need to make the change. I can show it to you. I can give you suggestions on what steps to take, but this is your choice. And it's scary. It's scary because, you know, you're facing the unknown. I've heard this more than once. Well, I already know what I'm dealing with now. And life is so chaotic. How do I know if I don't make some of these big changes, it's going to get worse?
Well, but does it look like it's getting better?
Yeah, exactly.
The trajectory. Momentum is momentum. If what you're doing is headed straight into that wall over there, hello, that's just going to accelerate once you know what it is.
And that's a lot of reason why so many women stay in bad relationships. They stay with people they shouldn't be with. We've all had those situations.
Yes, hello.
Yeah. So the question is, do you have the courage to face the unknown?
I don't know that I would like to give myself that credit. I don't know that I had the courage to face the unknown. I think that staying was worse than any other option.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So absolutely. I feel like it was a great deal of cowardice alongside some courage, because I was like, no, where we're going to stay is going to be so painful. Anything is better. Whereas if I looked around and thought this will happen, this will happen, this will happen, I don't know how that would have been, but I just where I was. And I knew that, though. Isn't that funny, Carrie? I knew it. I knew I had to stay where I was so that I was never willing to come back once I left. Because that's what I would see again and again. Women leaving, it was so hard, they would come back.
That's why we have that term, you have to hit rock bottom.
Yes.
You have to hit that place where you just cannot stay any longer in the relationship, in the job, in the life you're leading. You have to make that change. For me, it was the drinking, and I was so shut down in so much pain. I had to do something because I could not continue on the way I was going. It was untenable.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. You know, I just, it's been so interesting, a conversation. Thank you. Because in my brain now, I'm trying to rejig all the characters in my life into a bloody movie script and go, you know, and what are all the characters in a script?
The protagonist is hopefully you. The antagonist can be multiple people. And sometimes in our world, it's a business. So
the people you're fighting.
Right. So it's the person, it's the entity that is challenging you on your journey.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the sage, who is the mentor, the wise one. You have the best friend. You have the love interest. Hopefully you have comic relief so that when the tension gets too high, you have somebody who makes you laugh. So these are all the characters you meet on your journey.
I love that.
If you think of any movie, tell me your favorite movie and I'll
No, I can completely see the, and then there's that bit where there it rises to a point of tension, and then it's the fixing of that tension that that leads into the way forward. And I really love that. And it's so interesting because I think as you go down doing this more and more often, what I've learned is that the moments of tension don't go away, but my ability to look at them, absorb them, understand them, and pivot is so much faster. Something that would take me a year to understand can now take me less than 1 minute to go through
Now,
the process.
and that's exactly what the journey is about. Your
Yes.
hero's journey, you have challenges, you're given challenges. It's like you're on this course and you're given challenges to help you grow and improve. And as you get further, the first ones are usually very daunting and then they start to minimize, but then you have that defining moment. That one thing will happen and you will say, enough. I am now going to step fully
No
into
more. Yeah.
and you're going to be that new person. So that when those little challenges come up again, because they will, because everybody says to me, how can I get rid of it? Don't worry about getting rid of it.
Don't
You
bother getting rid of
feel
anything. So,
it.
overcome, rise
Yeah.
above it, because
Just
then it's irrelevant.
that all of a sudden these what used to be these giant obstacles become stepping stones on your path. So those challenges that
That's a
used
very
to.
clever way of putting it. I like that. You become bigger so that they become smaller.
Right. And they become stepping stones. They
Yeah.
no longer trip you up. They're no longer hurdles that you have to overcome.
I love it.
They can become guidelines to your best self and even a better self. Then you get a new story and another new story, and that just keeps getting bigger and better.
But and the reason this matters is that if you look at basic quantum physics, anything that you watch shifts, changes, and grows. It just shifts because I spend a lot of time coaching people going, I'm a psychologist, I don't believe in this. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so I'll take refuge in science because somehow that makes everyone feel better, although I don't know why, because science isn't even that old. And they literally, if you can see anything, you can shift the thing you can see. But when you can't see, you can't shift. That's why people are like, but I've been working on the same thing forever. Well, not quite, because you just haven't hit the bottom of it. So yeah, we need a coach support group here.
Yes. Well, but you're absolutely right. And my job, somebody called me a liberator one time because I liberate you from that one thing or whatever that thing is that's holding you back. You have to see it. You have to see it. You have to bring it up and see it. And then when I, you can see it. Can't you see it in your client's face when they got it?
Completely.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Every time you can see it in their face the
It's just the
minute.
best job in the world for that very reason.
I get that. I totally get that. It's so important. And I often say to clients, I don't want to work with you for the rest of your life. I will work with you on new issues, but
Yes. Let's nail
let's
this and then move on.
nail this and then let's move into having the best love of your life and love of family, love of partner, love of yourself, and then let's move into, because it you can apply this everywhere, everywhere.
No,
I've
I
done
agree.
it with age. I've done it with my age. A lot of people my age would do, you should be, you should be, you should be.
This
And
is
it's.
why I don't tell people how old I am. I'm like, you know what? Take me at my most childish and good luck to you, and we'll be done from that one. Like, honestly, this concept that you have to behave in a particular way. And it's frankly, it's just the children are rude enough to remember how old I am every year, which is rude. And then they get older, and then it's in comparison to how old they are, which is even ruder, because I keep taking time off their age, my age, and they're like, no, this is how old we all are. And I was just like, well, I'm not talking to you anymore. Next year,
Well,
you make them come here without them.
I tell people I'm ageless. You want to know how old I am? I'm ageless.
Really? I go with puerile, but that's okay. I'll take ageless. That sounds so much. I'm like childish, I'll take ageless. That sounds so much more graceful and dignified somehow than puerile.
Well, know your audience, and some audiences it will be better to say ageless, but I'm going to use Purell. I like that one too.
I'm like, well, bite me. What you gonna do about it? Do you know what I mean? I'm like, you're just really childish. I know, thank you. And then we can all go on. Like, I've been trying to enter my superficial era for at least 2 years now. This shit is not working, Carrie. I have an objection. I'm like, I want to be sitting in Monaco or somewhere by the beach, stroking my Chanel handbag, with my hot lead actor, which I now know next to me. And this is not happening yet. And I'm like, the universe needs to stop being such a demanding bitch and let me go off. And my superficial era, I'm aiming for that. Yeah. Like,
I think it's a great goal to have.
right? Like, there
I
are
think
people that
it's
have other really
awesome.
stupid goals. This is the goal I feel like I want to have. And why can't I?
What you can.
Yeah.
Why can't you? I mean,
No, I am.
that's the thing. We got to blow the whole door open about what we should be doing, how
Well,
we
no,
should be
but
behaving.
I'll tell you why you can't. Because the universe at that stage goes, no, we've invested a lot of time and effort in getting you to the kind of person that can have an impact. So you might want to be doing that, but not today. Hold my beer and go off and do that stuff. And you're like, damn it, that is so rude. What do you mean? And then you find yourself having all this impact and doing all this amazing stuff. And then you're like, oh, all right, then I'll put it off for another 6 months. And
Another
then
bit.
you find yourself in the middle of another global movement. And yeah, anyway,
Yeah.
just whining. But yeah.
Well, you know what? You know what, though? This is the first time these last couple of years I have really found like I found my footing.
Oh, really? I'm so happy to hear that. It's so
Yeah.
important as women.
Yes.
Intelligent, strong women never feel safe and grounded. They never
Yeah.
feel like they're heavy on their feet. And I love that for you.
Yep. And I somebody called me the other day and said, I'm almost 67, so my life is pro I should just probably get settled in and expect this. And I
Oh, for the love of God, did you slap them upside their head and say no?
absolutely did. Absolutely did. And I said, what are you so afraid of?
Yeah, you know what I mean. You're this old. Now enjoy and see what happens, for the
Yeah.
love of God. Honestly.
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
I
that's a
said
good
the
place to be
greatest
in,
thing
darling.
that happened was when I hit menopause and I didn't have to worry about having sex with condoms and everything and birth control. It was the most freeing
I love that.
experience of my life. But I just think every day, I don't care how old you are, it's a gift. Enjoy
Yeah, no,
it.
I don't. More people around me will think of my age than I ever will. I give zero. It's irrelevant to any space I'm in. Okay,
Exactly.
so
Yes.
in order for your pithy last words not to be hooray for unprotected sex, would you like to leave us with a nice, wise, pithy saying, madam? Because that didn't go the way I expected it to.
We have to laugh more and realize that life, our life is ours. Nobody else's. Our life is ours. Take control of it. You're the author. Write your story and write a damn good one.
Own your shit, babe. But yeah,
Own it.
I like
Own it and write
that.
it. Write it brilliantly.
Thank you so much for joining me. This was the wonderful Carrie West, whose book is out, Life Rewritten. Please go get it. I think it'll be, as you can tell, be entertaining. I loved having this conversation, Carrie. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I loved it too.
My name is Geeta Siddhirub. This is Activate Yourself. And honestly, I think if you can activate yourself with giggles, that has got to be the best way forward, because that's the activation that you want. Because if it can all be built on a bedrock of laughter and joy, that's
Yeah.
a very, tequila should, I think, but for the ones that don't drink, don't drink. Me, I'm like, little thing. I'm a really cheap date and a lightweight, like one drink, and I'm kind of like, oh, it's bedtime. So I enjoy the fact that I have zero tolerance. I have had the best time. Thank you very much for joining me, and we'll see you all next time.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.